You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon, and once again, if you're tuning in for the first time, I am the new host of Locked On Wolves. This is my third episode. I've been one of the editors at Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves blog on the Fansided Network for several years, and again, have been around the Timberwolves blogosphere here for a little while. Today, in today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some admittedly pie-in-the-sky potential moves the Timberwolves could still realistically make for one of a pair of all-stars that may still be able to be had via trade this offseason. Again, these are admittedly unlikely to happen, but still possible. They're not going to be crazy clickbait, if you will, trade ideas, but things that have been kind of thrown out there that could theoretically still happen. Then we'll talk about my theory, and here I also emphasize the word theory, related to Andrew Wiggins and what Gerson Rosas, the new president of basketball operations, may have planned for Andrew Wiggins for this year. This is not based on necessarily any concrete fact, but just what would make sense and probably what I would do if I were in his role, and the fact that Andrew Wiggins is still on the team and hasn't been traded yet, what that probably means moving forward. So again, I'll let you know what I think will happen, what I think may be going on in Rosas's mind, related to his overpaid but extremely talented wing player in Andrew Wiggins. Before we get there, I must let you know that support of Locked On Wolves comes from Manscaped, number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% at manscaped.com with promo code LOCKEDON. Okay, so here's the first trade idea. Admittedly, it's hardly original to cover the idea of Chris Paul potentially being flipped from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Timberwolves. However, there are still some ways that this could happen. It still makes some sense on both ends. So let's play this all the way out. First of all, why would the Thunder trade Chris Paul? Well, that's probably the easiest question to answer. They aren't going to be very good this year. Chris Paul is easily the best player on their team, and the Thunder are going to be paying him upwards of, it's $36 million, $38 million, something like that. It would make sense for Oklahoma City to try and trade him, given the rest of that roster. I mean, they do have Danilo Gallinari. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is intriguing. They could keep them all, which they still might do, and at this point, it's probably more likely than not. However, if anybody were to just bottom out, it makes sense for it to be the Thunder. So they could be motivated to do this, to do this trade for that reason. They're also, I think, still in the luxury tax or close to it. So it would make sense for them to shed some salary. Why wouldn't the Thunder do it? Well, like I said, they could still make a run at the bottom of the playoffs. They may fear complete irrelevance in a smaller market. And it would be hard to blame them for that. And they could certainly lose some fan support if they were to just flip the former All-Star that they just acquired via trade. So it would make sense for them to not do it as well. And it'd be a harder message to sell. You know, Gallinari is a win-now piece. He kind of is what he is. So if you're trading Chris Paul, where does that leave you? Now, from the Wolves' perspective, why would they do this? Well, that's also pretty simple. It would give the Timberwolves a second star to pair with Karl Anthony Towns. And the way the NBA works, as I would imagine most listeners of this podcast already know, you get two All-Stars on a team and you're going to make the playoffs. It's kind of those All-Stars peak and then the role players that are going to make that difference between making the playoffs and making a run in the playoffs. To pair Chris Paul with Karl Anthony Towns would almost guarantee a playoff spot. Chris Paul hasn't played more than 60 or so games in the last few years. He hasn't been an All-Star for, I think, three seasons, mostly because of those injuries. So you may only get 60 games, maybe 65 games out of Chris Paul. but 75 to 80 games out of Carl Anthony Towns and 60 to 65 games or 55 to 60 games out of Chris Paul, that's a playoff team in the Western Conference, provided you're not giving up a lot of the rest of your depth in that trade. So it would make sense for the Timberwolves to do it from an on-court perspective. It's also a position at which they are quite thin, with only Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier on the roster as true point guards. Now, the counterpoint, again, there's a clear counterpoint here as well. Chris Paul's expensive. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's got multiple years left on what's quickly turning into a bad deal, and I think Houston knew it was a bad deal when they signed it, but their hands are somewhat tied. Chris Paul, we don't really know if he'd be excited about playing in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns, and he could be potentially difficult. This is projecting a bit, but he could be difficult if he's not. Then again, I don't know that he'll be happy playing in Oklahoma City with no superstars, so I don't know that that's a main concern. But it would, there's a little bit of fear out there about matching up windows of opportunity. I don't subscribe to that theory, because Towns' window is open now. He's a superstar. He's 24. You have to try and win. You can't worry about matching windows, whatever. If you have to piece together multiple windows, that's what you do. And that's what the Timberwolves try to do with Jimmy Butler. So I wouldn't be worried about that. Now, the next question is, how would they go about getting this trade done? There's a couple possibilities. One would involve Andrew Wiggins' contract, which is a little more than two-thirds of what Chris Paul is getting paid. That is one possibility. It's unknown what the Thunder thinks of Andrew Wiggins. They probably, Sam Presti's smart. He probably understands how overpaid Wiggins is and how many years are left on his deal. But it would also be a move that could sell hope to the fans in Oklahoma City, which may be attractive to Presti. I don't know. The other possibility would be some combination of Jeff Teague and his $19 million and Gorgui Dieng and his roughly $16 million together, probably with another piece or two. Teague would be expiring next offseason. That could be attractive to the Thunder. Gorgui would be expiring the summer after that. So if the Thunder want to go the cap space route and then try and acquire another star via trade or via free agency in the future, that would be the route to go if they're not sold on Andrew Wiggins. From the Timberwolves' perspective, if either deal were on the table, I would do it. As unpleasant as Chris Paul can be to watch for multiple reasons, and while understanding the arguments against acquiring Chris Paul, if such a deal were on the table, it would be really hard to turn that down. This is, again, practically guaranteed playoffs and potentially further. I understand all the arguments of Chris Paul never getting past the conference finals. He hasn't been great in the playoffs. His teams haven't been great in the playoffs. But at this stage in his career, Karl Anthony Towns would probably be the best player on the floor for this team, unless Paul was able to stay healthy the entire year and have somewhat of a resurgence. Paul hasn't played with a big man like Karl Anthony Towns. The closest thing, obviously, would have been Blake Griffin. Although when the two played together, Griffin wasn't exactly the stretch four that he's become, and sometimes stretch five that he's become in Detroit. It wasn't quite the outside shooter. It was a different Blake Griffin. Go all the way back to Tyson Chandler in New Orleans. Obviously, a different type of big man than Karl Anthony Towns. A Chris Paul, Karl Anthony Towns pick and roll would be outstanding and quite deadly. That said, there are plenty of arguments against it. If this was on the table for the Timberwolves, for Gerson Rosas, I think it would be a mistake to not make it happen. The salary is the only legitimate concern in my mind. Paying a guy who's, I think, 32 years old, paying him $36 million, having him under contract for another couple of seasons, that is understandable were he to be worried about that. I wouldn't worry about the personality as much. I certainly wouldn't worry about the cost, even if you have to give up a pick, even two picks. The only real concern there is how long you're locking up that amount of money for a guy who's only going to play two-thirds of a season, and you're paying him that money for the next couple of years. Again, we don't know if these deals are on the table. I just know that it's possible that they could get done. There's a few more pieces that would need to be involved. I don't think straight up for Wiggins wouldn't work, and just for Teague and Gorgui Dieng doesn't quite work. But with a few other moves, salary cap-wise, maybe even a third team, that's a trade that would get the Timberwolves into the top five or six in the Western Conference at least. and would make the help the Thunder achieve a potential goal of a lottery pick this next year. And they've been accumulating draft picks as well. So this is a move that could really keep them moving in the right direction, which I guess is the wrong direction in terms of wins, but in terms of rebuilding, it could help them out quite a bit. All that to say, that's a move I make if I'm the Timberwolves. I get it if the Thunder don't want to make it, but it could make a lot of sense for them too. Okay, the even less likely than the Chris Paul trade possibility, but certainly more tantalizing option if you're a Timberwolves fan or if you are in the Timberwolves front office, would be acquiring Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards. I understand that he's apparently not on the trading block. I understand that the Wizards have rebuffed many offers for Bradley Beal in the not-so-distant past. And there is a three-year extension on the table for Beal worth $111 million. But at this point, it's maybe 50-50 at best that Beal signs that extension, given a number of factors. And the Washington Wizards have a new general manager in Tommy Shepard, who, while he's been there for the last few years, he might want to make his mark on this team. And he's the one that offered this three-year extension to Beal, and I'm sure that his ideal scenario is that Beal signs that extension. However, Shepard also has one of the league's worst deals on the books in John Wall and may want to do something a little bit outside the box, start turning the roster over to fit his future vision instead of simply extending the quick peak and then downfall, or at least what appears to be a quick peak and a downfall of the John Wall, Bradley Beal Wizards team. It seems as though if Beal doesn't sign this contract extension with the Wizards, he could potentially be on the block. It's not going to be a good Wizards team. It would be an okay Wizards team this next year. But perhaps the Timberwolves could strike. Perhaps attaching a couple of draft picks to Andrew Wiggins and another high upside player, I'm sure the Wolves would say Kata Bates-Diop. The Wizards would come back and ask for a Josh Okogie, probably start with Jarrett Culver, which if you're the Wolves, you don't do that, I don't think. But, you know, you certainly would do Wiggins and Okogie in a couple of picks. There would have to be, again, some more salaries involved, maybe a third team, but you're getting close. And actually, I believe Wiggins and Beal's salaries straight up would swap, although the Wizards would undoubtedly ask for more. And actually, yes, I just looked at it and their salaries are almost identical. So a Beal-Wiggins swap straight up would work. That would not happen. I want to be clear, that would not happen. The Wizards would not be on board with that. But if the Wolves were to throw in Josh Okogie and, you know, say a couple of first-round picks, maybe that becomes a little more attractive to the Wizards, depending on their view of Andrew Wiggins. We know, or at least have been told based on various media reports, I believe Doogie Wolfson of Twin Cities media fame had reported back around the trade deadline that there were teams that would have given up value for Andrew Wiggins. And we'll talk more about that here in our final segment related to Wiggins' potential trade value. Perhaps the Wizards were one of those teams. Perhaps. We don't know that. Surely the Timberwolves approached them with that thought, and surely they were rebuffed, but maybe the Wizards would have given something up for Wiggins, just not Bradley Beal. We don't know. Especially now with the new general manager in charge, it's a possibility. Again, this is understandably somewhat pie in the sky, but it would work from a salary perspective. It wouldn't even fit the challenge trade definition necessarily, because Beal's already a two-time All-Star. He's only a year or so older than Andrew Wiggins, and Wiggins has been a disappointment since his rookie season. So it's not a challenge trade. This would be a Wizards giving up on getting Beal to stay and maybe thinking Wiggins is the highest upside player they can get. And again, the whole selling hope thing to a fan base might be easier than saying, well, at least we got some draft picks for a two-time All-Star in his prime. Maybe it's easier to get Wiggins plus a couple of draft picks, even if it locks up their cap space. We don't know exactly what their thought process is. We don't know exactly what the new front office there, old slash new front office, is necessarily going to do. It is the same ownership. In Washington, and they don't have a great reputation. So perhaps it is a mandate of, rather than just draft picks, let's get draft picks and a guy who can sell some hope to our fan base. Bradley Beal, just for a moment, let's talk about how great of a fit he would be with the Timberwolves. Well, I think in some ways he can be overrated. I don't know that he would be an all-star in the Western Conference, for instance. He would still be an almost perfect fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. I guess you'd be hard-pressed to find a player that wouldn't be a great fit with Karl-Anthony Towns, given how versatile Towns is and just how good he is. But Beal, as one of the league's best-regarded three-point shooters, even though he had a career worst year from downtown last season, you know, 25-point-a-game scorer, two-time All-Star, going into his age 26 season, ready to sign an extension. You don't find a much better fit than that. Beal has had a little bit of a worrisome downward trend. 3 years ago, he shot over 40% from three, and in fact, three of his first five seasons in the league, he shot over 40% from three. And through those first five seasons, he was a 39.9% three-point shooter. 2 years ago, in his first All-Star season, though, he shot just 37.5% from downtown, and then last year, he averaged his most threes per game attempted, but shot just 35.1% from deep. Now, a lot of other things were going on in Washington, so who knows if that's real, if it was a one-year fluke. It was easily his worst three-point shooting season, so certainly not a reason to not make a move for him. But he averaged career-high in rebounds, career-high in assists. He was being asked to do a lot of other things. More steals, more blocks, all that stuff. You know, it all comes, the per-game stuff comes with playing more minutes, which he did play a career-high last year in minutes. But overall, he's still improving. It's just the three-point shooting that was down a bit. But if you look at his other rate-based statistics, they're all up across the board last season, from rebounding to assists to steals to blocks, all that stuff. Beal is still blossoming into a star and could be bordering on superstar here in the next year or two. He would be a perfect fit for the Timberwolves and, of course, for almost any other team. And this whole thing would hinge on the Wizards wanting to, again, save face with their fan base. And if they don't think highly of Wiggins, it's not something that's going to happen. It is, however, something that I'm sure Gerson Rosas and the Wolves front office is pursuing as hard as they possibly can. And maybe it's dead, maybe there's no possibility. But if I were them, I would be pushing this, however slim, possibility as much as possible. As a Beal Towns duo would absolutely be a force to be reckoned with in the Western Conference for years to come. All right. Is everybody ready for theory time? This is completely my take on what I believe Gerson Rosas is going to do with Andrew Wiggins moving forward in his first year on the job. Rosas has only been on the job for not even 3 months as of yet. It's the first week of August right now. But here's what I think, based on what we know about him so far and what we've heard from media reports, what I think he will do with Andrew Wiggins, his overpaid but highly talented wing player. I think, and if media reports from the spring are to be believed, there are still some teams, probably more than one or two, that think that Wiggins still has positive value despite his massive contract. All it takes is one, obviously, to complete a trade, but it helps if there's multiple. If that were really true and the Wolves could really get value, I think there's a possibility that Rosas would have already pulled the trigger. However, the wild card here is Ryan Saunders and how hard Ryan Saunders might be fighting for Andrew Wiggins. We don't know this, again. We do know that Wiggins and Saunders are friends, I think it's fair to say. Wiggins was at Ryan Saunders' wedding. That's well documented, you know, from a few years ago. They have spoken highly of each other. They've been together. basically since day one when Ryan Saunders was an assistant coach with the Timberwolves under his dad, under Flip. So, and we also know that Wiggins played better after Ryan Saunders was promoted to interim head coach last January. Not significantly better, but he was more active. The rebounding went way up. I think the shooting actually wasn't any better, but the activity was better. The want to seemed to be there. I think Rosas said, maybe I can get some value for Wiggins this summer. Maybe not. If he could get value, it probably wasn't much. He probably could have made a neutral trade and gotten out from the contract. But I think Rosas made a calculated decision. I think his calculation was, rather than just getting out from the contract in an offseason where I'm probably not going to get, going to land a superstar on a max contract necessarily, unless perhaps he was part of, there was all the rumors around D'Angelo Russell, and the Wolves would have almost had to have moved on from Wiggins to get Russell. It seems as though something might have been in place. But I think Rosas has now made the calculation of, it's better to keep Wiggins to try and get him to figure out the shot selection thing and the playing hard consistently thing, the rebounding, the defense, all that. And it's probably not going to hurt his trade value. He's not going to get worse under Ryan Saunders in the first few months of the season. And Rosas is going to wait to strike until the moment is right. Might be at the February trade deadline if he can move Wiggins for neutral value. If Wiggins can improve his trade value, great. You move him as part of a bigger deal and land a star. Maybe he hangs on to him until next summer. And maybe there's always the sliver of possibility that Wolves fans have held on to for the last four off seasons that Andrew Wiggins turns into a star practically overnight. Maybe it's the coaching change. It's the new offense that will be installed. Who knows? There's always that possibility, however slim it is. I mean, it's a slim possibility. It just is. But it could happen. So I think Rosas has calculated all of this, decided that it makes more sense to try and find a motivated Wiggins playing for Ryan Saunders this fall. Maybe he becomes great. More likely he raises his trade value. Worst case scenario, he's not going to tank his trade value any more than he already has. And maybe he gets moved in February if the Wolves are out of it. Maybe he gets moved over the summer. But regardless, he can still most likely get moved. If he can get moved now, he can probably get moved sometime in the next 12 months. There's no sense to upset the apple cart now for a lateral move when maybe you get lucky during the season. That's what I think Rosas is doing. I think it's probably the right move. We don't know what, if anything, has been on the table trade-wise for Wiggins over the past few months. We don't know what the potential move would have been as a precursor to D'Angelo Russell landing in Minnesota. But unless it was something completely unexpected, it seems as though Rosas is making the correct decision to hang on to Wiggins and try and improve that trade value. I would expect Wiggins to be on the team till at least February and probably until next summer. And more likely than not, Wiggins shoots more threes this year. He gets to the free throw line more often. He overall plays better. Maybe the Timberwolves win 40 to 43 games and sneak into the playoffs or make it close. And other organizations think that there might be some upside in the final 3 years Wiggins has on his huge contract. It's possible. I think that's where Rosas is at. All right, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back again tomorrow as your daily Timberwolves podcast with any other news that breaks this week, any more training camp news. We'll obviously be on top of that. We're going to start talking through the depth chart and each position on the roster and where the Timberwolves stand moving forward. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.